So James 1, 18 through 21. Hear now the word of the Lord. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of James, where we frequently encounter passages we'd probably rather not have read. We ask, Lord, that you would help our hearts to be ready to hear these words. Help us to be committed to you, committed to following you, Lord, even into uncomfortable passages. We ask that you would give us wisdom and clarity as we consider this passage today. Amen. All right, this morning we are continuing our study in the book of James, and we are studying James chapter 1 and verses 18 through 21. A few weeks ago, we looked at verses 12 through 18 of this chapter, and I think really early on in this study, when we first started getting into James, I mentioned that for some people, James is a favorite book, and for some people, James is a least favorite book. And one of those reasons is that James moves from preaching to meddling. And so that's kind of where we're getting to in this already in the book of James, just a few verses in. A few weeks ago, we looked at verses 12 through 18 of this chapter, and James told us that our problem with sin and temptation isn't a problem that lies outside of us, but that it's a problem within us. James told us that we are tempted when we are lured and enticed by our own desires, and that our sinful desires lead us to sin, and that our sins lead us to death. James tells us that we're the problem. Our own desires turn our trials into temptations. And James told us that as much as we want to blame our circumstances and as much as we want to blame other people, the problem is us. The problem is our own hearts. But thankfully, James didn't leave us there. He tells us that our hearts are the problem, but he also tells us that God's word is a solution. In verse 18, we're told that we were brought forth by the word of truth to be a kind of first fruits for God. James tells us that it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are born again and that we're given new life. And now in verses 19 through 21, James says, now that you've been brought forth by the word of truth, don't be an impediment to the transforming work of that same word. He tells us that as we now have new life in Jesus Christ, we need to let the word of God do its work in our heart and do its work in our lives rather than getting in its way. At one of the churches that I worked at in the past, we had this room. We have a similar room here. We had this room called the Sunday School Supply Room. What this room really was a room where we put everything that didn't have a place somewhere else in the church. And so by the time that I was working there, the room had been collecting these odds and ends, for many, many years. Well, one day, several of us were talking about how it'd be nice to actually have a Sunday school supply room. And so we decided we were going to clean out the room. And when the day arrived, three of us showed up to clean out this room. And the team was made up of myself, a lady named Carol Ann, and another lady named Jane. And as we started cleaning out this room, it didn't take long for us to realize that we had a problem. And our problem was that two of us were very committed to throwing away all the stuff in that room. Jane wanted to save everything. She every time we picked something up to put it in a trash bag, she would make a case for the potential future usefulness of that item. Things that were in the trash bag were showing up back on shelves. And because Jane kept imagining scenarios where we would regret having thrown it away. So we were trying to get this room cleaned out, but when it came down to it, she really didn't want to let these things go. Well, what's interesting about this is that when it comes to letting God's word transform us, when it comes to letting God's word sanctify us, our hearts tend to act a little bit like Jane. Through the gospel, we're born into new life, but our hearts are hesitant to let go of the sins and to let go of the idols that we've grown accustomed to. We all have the tendency to resist the transforming work of God's word and to hold on to those sins. We get rid of the more obvious sins in our lives, but maybe we don't fight so hard against pride or against lust or against anger or against gossip or against gluttony or greed. You know, we want to experience the promises and the hope of new life in Christ that comes through the hearing and responding to the word of truth, but we want to do it without experiencing the more painful transforming work of that same word. And since we know that we are also guilty of this, since we know that we are also guilty of being an impediment to the transforming work of God's word in our own hearts, we need to listen to James' words today. So this morning, we're going to walk through these verses together, and we're going to take a look at the four commands that James gives us that tell us how we should respond to the transforming work of the word of truth in our lives. And we find the first three commands in verse 19. So I'm going to read verse 19 again for us. It says this: "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So the first command that James gives to us regarding our response to the transforming word of truth is to be quick to hear. He commands us to be quick to hear. And Kent Hughes tells us that the reason that James has to give us this command is because many of us are non-listeners. And I think we all know that's true. We are a people and a culture that is just bad at listening. And this is primarily because we are always on the go. Most of us feel like we're doing well if we can spend like 5 to 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes reading our Bible, praying. Most of us feel like we've done well to have 5 or 10 minutes just to sit there for a second. We're always on the go. And it is certainly a good thing to invest any amount of time in studying the Bible and praying. But it's important to give yourself enough time to really listen to the words of Scripture. In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." But we're so busy that we feel like we don't have time to be still for anything, much less studying the Word. You know, and when we don't have time to be still, it becomes very hard to be a good listener. So the first reason that we need to work on towards being a good listener is we need to learn to be still again. Another reason we struggle to be good listeners is that we have surrounded ourselves with distractions. Kent Hughes says that if we don't control our time, the media will. If we don't control our time, the media will. And here he's not just talking about social media or news media. He's talking about all forms of media, whether that's social media or the news or entertainment or even just text messages and emails. You know, we are surrounded by distractions that are constantly not just requesting our attention, but demanding our attention. If we're going to become people who are quick to hear the word of God, then we're going to have to learn to put limits on these distractions. And here's what Simon Kistemacher says about listening. He says, "Listening is an art that is difficult to master, for it means to take an intense interest in the person who is speaking. Listening is the art of closing one's mouth and opening one's ears and heart. Listening is loving the neighbor as oneself. His concerns and problems are sufficiently important to be heard." So here he calls listening an art. Now, it's a talent we need to develop because we're not naturally good at it. James tells us that if we're going to be transformed by the word of truth, then we have to stop and we have to hear what God has said in his word. And being quick to hear is so important because what God has said in his word is worth hearing. You know, in verse 18, James reminds us that it is God's word that brought us new life. The catechism tells us that it's only in God's word that we can learn what man must believe about God and what God requires of man. You know, our hearts need time. They need to stop and to listen to God's word. And that means that if we're going to be quick to hear, then we're going to have to set aside time for listening to God's word. And if you remember from that quote, he mentions that it's listening is having this intense interest in what the person is saying. We need to cultivate this intense interest in what God has said to us, remembering that it is God's word that gave us life, remembering that it's God's word that directs us and teaches us. So we need to cultivate that time. If we're going to be quick to hear, then we're going to have to set aside time for listening to God's word. We're going to have to protect that time from distractions, and we're going to have to value what God has said in his word. So James commands us to be quick to hear. The second command that James gives to us, responding our response to the transforming word of truth, is to be slow to speak. He commands us to be slow to speak. In general, I think most of us can agree that we are all much more ready to speak than we are to listen. And knowing that, James tells us to be slow to speak. And here's why. Before we speak, we need to be sure to listen to God's word first. You know, all day long, you and I are talking to ourselves. We have this inner monologue. It's not always out loud, but as it's kind of this inner monologue that we have going on throughout the day. You know, throughout each day, our hearts are talking to us. We are coming up with explanations. We are coming up with interpretations. We are providing justification for things. We are condemning things that we encounter. We are offering judgment. We are assigning value. You know, there's always a conversation going on in our hearts as we go throughout our days. And it's the words that we're saying in our hearts that come out of our mouths. So we need to be slow to speak so that we can listen to God's words first. Before we speak, we need the Bible. We need the Word of God to transform the words that we're saying to ourselves and the words that we say to others. Kent Hughes explains it this way. He says, "Our natural tendency in respect to God's Word is to be slow to hear and quick to speak. Not fully understanding because of faulty listening, we are quick to jump to wrong conclusions, quick to judge, quick to say the worst, quick to offer advice. Yet we so naturally pronounce opinions and verdicts on every situation and person, but we must keep in mind that slow to speak is an ongoing command from the Holy Spirit himself." You know, we need to listen to God's word before we speak. Proverbs 10, verses 19 through 21 says this: "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense." You know, it's wisdom, right? Proverbs tells us it's wisdom that restrains our speaking and that teaches us to speak carefully after considering the wisdom that we find in God's word first. So James commands us to be slow to speak. Third command that James gives to us regarding our response to the transforming word of truth is to be slow to anger. He commands us to be slow to anger. And I'm going to read verses 19 through 20 again for us. And they say this: "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And as we consider this command, it's important for us to talk about what type of anger James is addressing. The Bible is clear that we need to be careful not to become angry people. There's plenty of passages that talk about anger in general. But in the context of this passage, it seems clear that James is primarily talking about anger in response to God's word. And this is so important because it is easy to be offended by the Bible. The Bible does not always agree about what is right and what is wrong. It doesn't always agree with our culture about those things. And so it can be easy for us to be angered by the Bible. The Bible does not always agree with our political party about what is right and wrong. And so it can be easy for us to be offended by the Bible. The Bible does not always agree about what is right and wrong with our own hearts. Sometimes the Bible disagrees with us about what's right and wrong. And so it's easy for us to be offended and angered by the Bible. And I think Kent Hughes offers a helpful comment here. He says, "If you want to benefit from God's word, you must be slow to anger. An angry spirit is not a listening or teachable spirit." You know, one of the reasons that James commands us to be slow to anger is because anger typically makes us quick to speak and it makes us quick to act. And that's why there are so many verses that warn us about the dangers of our anger. One example, Psalm 4, verse 4. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent." You know, in Psalm 4, David tells us to be quiet when we're angry and to take time to reflect before we act or before we speak. You know, a heart that is quick to anger makes us much less likely to follow James' other commands, to be quick to hear and to be slow to speak. Another reason that James commands us to be slow to anger is found in verse 20. He tells us that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And if we are easily angered or easily offended by the word of God, when the word of God corrects us or rebukes us, we are going to hinder our own spiritual growth. You know, the gospel has brought us forth in new life, And now God's word is transforming us. It's sanctifying us, making us more and more like our Savior in our words and in our thoughts and in our deeds. But a heart that's quick to anger, a heart that is quick to take offense when corrected, is a heart that is resisting the transforming work of the word. You know, we need to learn to be slow to anger. And then the fourth command that James gives us regarding our response to the transforming word of truth is to receive the transforming word of truth with meekness. He tells us to receive the word with meekness. I'm going to read verse 21 again for us. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, and I think that some of us in this room, myself included, might be offended by James telling us that there is filthiness and rampant wickedness that we still need to put away. Whether we say it out loud or not, we tend to view verses in the Bible that talk about filthiness and rampant wickedness as belonging to our past before we are Christians, or those verses for people who aren't Christians yet. But that isn't who James is writing to in this book. James is writing to people who are believers, who are calling themselves Christians, who say they're following him. And he is telling them, and he's telling us, that there are sins and idols that we have held on to and that we need to reject them and to repent of them. And that's why James has told us to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. That's why James now tells us to receive with meekness the implanted word. And what that means is submitting to the authority of Scripture in all things, but especially when it comes to the things that the Bible calls sins. You know, receiving with meekness the implanted word means actively getting rid of the sins that God's word reveals to us as sins. It means allowing the word that brought us life through the message of the gospel to continue transforming us. And at the end of verse 21, James reminds us of this truth. It's the word of truth that has saved our souls. And that means that we can trust it. You know, we trusted it for our salvation. We can trust God's word for our sanctification. And in Matthew 16, 24 through 26, Jesus says this. It says, Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? You know, Jesus has told us that to live a faithful Christian life, we're going to have to take up our cross and follow him. James gives us these four commands in these verses because he knows that our tendency is to resist the transforming, sanctifying work of the gospel in our own hearts and lives. And he gives us these four commands because he knows that we need the transforming, sanctifying work of the gospel in our hearts and lives. So as we go out this week, you know, as we consider what James has said, these are hard things to consider. So we want to go out this week still considering these things. Let us commit this week to praying for the Lord's help, to be quick to humbly receive his word. Let us commit to evaluating the things that hinder and cut short our time in God's word. Let us commit to make the changes that will provide us with unhindered time in God's word. Let us commit to trusting the words of Scripture when it comes to the sanctifying work that our hearts need. Let us continue trusting the word of the gospel that brought us new life in Jesus Christ as we, in response to God's word, seek to faithfully deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him each and every day in his strength. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word, even when it does its work in cutting to our hearts, Lord. We ask that you would help us as we consider these truths. We ask that you would help us to be humble and receive the word that you've given to us. Lord, we ask that you continue working in our heart. Help us to develop hearts that are quick to hear your words, that are slow to speak our own to ourselves and to others. Help us to have hearts that are slow to anger with others and even with you and your word. Lord, help us to remember the salvation that we have in you. Remember the word of the gospel that brought us new life and hope that we did not have. Help us to trust as it continues doing its work in us. In your name we pray. Amen.